BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Adam, dum, dum. Joe.
Adam, dum, dum.
Joe.
Adam, dum, dum. Dum, dum, dum.
Joe.
Adam, dum, 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 dum.
Joe.
Can you imagine how little money they would have raised for famine relief if that had been released?
It would go into negative charity equity.
It would actually have made the problem much worse.
It would end up with the starving Africans actually having to give their own money to stop it.
Yeah. That was a special version of Do They Know It's Christmas, sung Adam and Joe style. Welcome, listeners, to our very special Boxing Day-based podcast.
Boxing Day podcast. I can't believe the year's gone so fast. Boxing Day podcast.
Who's that?
Shane McGowan.
Oh, of course.
He said he asked to be invited. How are you going to be listening to this podcast?
Well, you know, you have a very established podcast listening ritual that's been captured on film that all the listeners are able to see on the Adam and Joe blog.
Shed based.
I don't have a similar sort of ritual. In fact, I tend to listen again when I get home after the show.
Do you really?
And then when the podcast comes in, I tend to just listen to the intro and outro.
Wow, yeah. Totally different.
Yeah, very different.
I've never listened again.
Really?
Because that would be too much.
Do you think, you can skip through the records. The iPlayer is a beautiful piece of programming. Yeah. It's very versatile. It's getting better, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. And you can skip through to your favourite bits, you know. Yeah. And then I like to assess the choices James, the producer, has made in a spreadsheet that I've been that I've been working on for the last 4 years. It's very statistically precise. Yeah. It has a column where I score your choices out of 10. And then at the end of our whole run here at the station, I'm going to give you that statistical breakdown because it might help you improve your choices in your career.
Course.
That's all complete twaddle. Of course. I don't do that.
Of course he does. Now, listeners, this is our Christmas show, as we've mentioned, our Boxing Day show. But it's kind of a tradition with myself and Joe to come into the studio, have a few glasses of some vaguely alcoholic beverage, and do this show as a pre-record, and then it goes out in the morning. And we're sort of assuming that our listeners are okay with that. Do you ever listen to the show as it goes out live?
Well, that's tough, isn't it? Well, I'm in the room when it goes out live. So, I see if a pre-recorded one goes out. I've been in the car, when driving along and heard one of our pre-recorded
shows.
Quite
weird, I would think, to listen to us.
I was great.
Were you?
Mm.
And we've done it more or less the same way for years and years and years. We play pretty much the same music in the background. We end up talking about pretty much the same things. Actually, this year we play different
music. It's comforting.
Music.
People like that at Christmas.
Exactly.
You like to see the same things at Christmas.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, is that what you were building up to?
Have I preempted you? No, that's fine. You've just glistened my cake. That's the wrong way of describing what I wanted to say. That's a disgusting way of
I don't know. It felt like Christmassy.
It's the icing on the cake rather than you've glistened
ice, you've
my
iced
cake.
My cake.
Yeah.
He's an ice man.
He's a very nice man.
Mm.
So listen, let's get on with the podcast. Why not? Because there's a lot to get through. A lot of presents, a lot of rubbish, a lot of waffles, a lot of delicious logs.
Mm, like a big Christmas lunch that'll make you feel sick.
Enjoy!
Happy Christmas from the big British castle. Ho, 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 that's Santa Claus. He is listening to his favourite podcast in his sleigh. And of course it is the one by Chris Moyles. Oh.
Excuse me, anybody behind the castle gates? Excuse me?
What do you want?
I'd like to come in for Adam and Joe's Christmas hut. Every year they do a special show from inside their Christmas hut by the walls of the castle.
Wait a second, are you young Billy Barnacles?
Yes, I am Billy Barnacles.
I knew your dad, Bobby Barnacles.
Oh.
He was a git! Go away!
But please, I wish to come into the castle to enjoy the victuals and warm fire of Adam and Joe's Christmas hut, please.
Victuals and warmth, you say? Very well, I shall raise the portcullis for you, but just this once, as it's Christmas stroke Boxing Day.
Oh, no, I've changed my mind. I don't want to come in.
Well, be off with you and stop wasting my time, you little pods.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, how you doing, listeners? That was a little pre-show panto for you there. There'll be more of that kind of thing later on in the show, but it's our special Boxing Day show. We've just arrived here in the studio. This is Adam.
This is Joe. That was to set the scene. Big British castle, all covered in snow. All the hills around, all covered in snow.
Mm-hmm.
All the villagers and the horses and the dogs and cats and ponies.
All covered in snow.
And the little hut, which sits outside the castle walls. Mm-hmm. We've actually dug a little Great Escape-style hole under the castle walls.
Because the foundations aren't very deep. Shoddy cowboy building.
Yeah. It was built by George Lamb.
The hut, was it?
Yeah. When he was a builder.
George Lamb the Hutt.
Yeah.
That's his actual full name.
Lamb of the Hutt.
Yeah, Lamo the Hutt.
It was built by George Lamb. Steve Lamacq lives in the eaves of the hut.
Yes, he's protected by various, you know, laws to protect rare bat species.
Yeah, and he was found living on the site when George Lamb came to erect the hut, so they weren't allowed to move Lamo because he's protected, as Joe pointed out. So he's up there somewhere in the rafters. But listen, it's cold in this little hut,
boy. You haven't mentioned Liz Kershaw.
Liz Kershaw, she's underneath the hut.
What do you mean?
There's a little, there's like a bunker.
Right.
She's down there in the bunker.
Right.
I don't know what she gets up
what
to
is
down
she
there.
Get up to down there.
I think she's mixing herself a little cocktail and reading the music papers.
And smoking a fag! Not that she does, that's terrible.
No, exactly. So yeah, boy, and it's freezing in here. We need a fire. Are you going to stoke the big metal...
I'll light up the fire.
...thing?
Yeah. There we go. Pop some logs in there.
What are you using for logs there?
Logs.
Oh, good.
Actually, they're reconstituted environmentally friendly logs.
Ah, Yule logs.
They are, yeah. They're made of actually dead humans.
And then what kind of book are you burning? You're burning a book there.
I'm burning Fahrenheit
9/11.
No, the other one, the
451.
The Ray Bradbury, yeah.
That's ironical, isn't it?
Well, that's why I'm burning it.
Yeah, that's a switcheroo
on
Bradbury.
What I'm also going to do? I'm going to pop a DVD of Francois Truffaut's big screen version of that book on as
Ooh.
Well.
Hey, how about Burn After Reading as well? Put that in there.
Yeah, I'm going to put that in there.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Burn Hollywood Burn?
Wow.
Directed by Alan Smithy.
This is such a pop cultural meta. Bonfire.
Stick it all on the bonfire. Hey, that's nice. I'm getting toasty. You want a bit of music?
That would be lovely.
I thought this year we would listen to the Booker T and the MG's Christmas album, which we have listened to for the last Christmas.
What, in the background, or are we going to actually listen to every track?
We're going to listen. No, in the background. Yeah, we'll carry on talking over the top of it.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Let's see. We're going to kick off with Jingle Bells here. You know, when I bought this album, I thought, this has got to be... Like, I love Booker T and the MGs, right? Obviously, who doesn't? So a Christmas album from the Memphis group, that's got to be the best thing ever. No, it's not really. But it does the job for Boxing Day.
So, listeners, happy Boxing Day. We hope you've had a fantastic Christmas day. And we hope you're full of all sorts of festive warmth. You know, Boxing Day has a very particular atmosphere, doesn't it? It's sort of the calm after the storm. You've got a very full tummy. You should hopefully be placated in terms of greed.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't feel you need any more material goods. And you should be purely kind of wallowing in love.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like a shallow dish of love.
I used to find it a very depressing day.
Did you?
Yeah, because the gifts, like in our house, we would have Christmas Eve presents. We would have Christmas Eve presents sometimes. Like when I say present, like very small little stocking filler gifts, right? But as a tease, as a build-up to the big present-giving bonanza on the Christmas day.
I can't help feeling it's a bit of a curse for your family.
Why?
Well, you love a big sort of... you love lots of presents at Christmas, don't you?
Sure.
And you've carried that over to your own family now, haven't you?
Well, I'm trying to rein it in because I realise that it's unusual.
Well, that's good, that's good.
I don't want to go mental.
Well, that's the point I was going to make, that you might go mental, but it sounds as if you're on top of that already.
More or less.
I think it's good to give your kids paper clips.
Do you?
Sand.
Yeah, you wait till you have children, see how
mud.
That goes down.
Well, you have to start that way.
Laser mud, maybe. Remote control sand, fine. Mm. But otherwise...
Jingles, Christmas jingles, where's the bells for the jingles?
Unique the jingle bells. Hello, listeners. You're listening to Adam and Joe's special Christmas show on Boxing Day 2009. It's lovely to have you along. We're broadcasting from our little wooden hut just outside the walls of the big British castle. We've got a lovely log fire and a bit of music playing. Adam's popping open a bottle of rosé.
Right, I'm going to pop this. I'm going to slam this one into the ceiling of the
It's not fizzy, though, mate, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, not if it's rosé.
Sparkling rosé, boy. Here we go. I'm going to smash this into the ceiling. I'm going to try and see if I can knock Calamo off his perch up there.
What is happening?
Sorry, I'm screaming.
Here we go.
Oh, I'm going to drink your blood. I got him. He's gone back to sleep again now. Right, let's see if this is any better. So, is it present-giving time?
It's present-giving time. We were saying earlier that, of course, the present-giving is over for most of the country, but here at the castle in our little hut, Adam and I have yet to give each other our Christmas presents, and every year we decide, what is it, three presents each?
Three presents each.
Yeah. So, every half an hour, a present will be going either one way or another, and I'm very excited about your presents that you've got for me.
Are you? Well, did you genuinely like any of the ones I got you last year? Can you remember anything?
I remember the old copies of Smash Hits.
That's quite good, wasn't it?
That was a good one. That's the only one I remember.
It wasn't Smash Hits, though. It was
Sky Magazine.
Sky Mag.
Yeah, that one. I remember. The others I've blanked.
Sure. Now,
That's a terrifying question, to be honest.
Who's going
to
start? Are you going to start or am I going to start?
No, I think you should give me one.
All right, then. I'm going to give you my worst one.
Okay, start at the bottom.
Yeah, start at the bottom, work our way up.
So, listeners, this is a little silver package. It is... it's the shape of a sort of a large mince pie. It's got a circular top and a kind of bowl-like bottom, just like me. And it's got a little smiley-faced sticker on the bottom. That's very nice.
Yeah, that's
good. I mean, you've gone the extra distance there.
I'm trying to cheer you up.
A present adorned. And if I press it... It clicks a bit like, what's the board game which had a sort of clear dome in the middle and two dice under it, and you would click it.
What the heck?
Is that
was
Boggle
that
or.
Boggins.
Boggins, the board game?
Yeah, Coggle, Woggle, one of those.
Do you know
those.
The one?
I do know
and
the one.
And you press it, it's sort of making that kind of a sound.
And it would the dice around inside to randomise.
It's a way
them.
To be able to roll dice without ever risking losing them.
That was a good way of doing it because.
It doesn't rattle, though.
As we've spoken about games before, sometimes the dice throwing can be ruinous.
Oh, it's a kind of novelty. Get your hands off. He's reaching out and trying to touch it.
I switched the batteries round so it wouldn't go off
okay,
in the packaging.
Okay, so I need to switch the batteries round. It's kind of a button like someone would have on their desk. Right, like an emergency giant red button.
I think it's an executive toy.
It's an executive toy in the shape of such a button. And it's got the word easy written on
that
the button.
That was easy.
Ah, you see? So I press it and it goes...
That was easy.
Is that all it does?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Does it have anything else programmed into it? Wait, it's probably say something different now.
That was easy.
No, it's the same. Probably the next one will be different.
That was easy.
You get the idea.
What do you think it's for?
Well, I suppose when I've done something and I did it easy, I go...
That was easy.
Yeah?
Like, when would you ever use that? Even... Okay, so obviously it's a ridiculous thing, yes. It's an executive toy. And
that was easy.
But why would you use...
Is that your voice?
No, it's not.
That was easy.
That was easy.
It's half British and half American. It starts out sounding American, then goes British at the end.
That was easy.
The easy
that
is
was
British.
Easy.
That was easy.
That was easy.
It's like Ray Winston in Fool's Gold.
Yeah, and every...
That was easy.
And every film where he plays an American.
Well, thanks a lot, man. That's good, isn't it?
I told you it was the worst one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not. It's good.
I mean...
What will I use that for? Maybe if I've had a casual affair with someone in the office after we finish our business.
That was easy.
Do you think?
Well, I was thinking, like, if you ever wrote a script in, like, a day or something.
Yes.
That was easy.
You know, and that could be your little celebration there. In Misery, when James Caan finishes his book, he has one cigarette and a glass of champagne.
Mm.
When you finish your script, Joe, you can press that easy button and think of me.
It's a complacent attitude, though, isn't it, really?
Wow.
That was easy.
How often can you say that about anything in life? That's
my
the
mindset is such that the complacency that this button implies would make me worried that it would come back and bite me on the bottom.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As soon as you press this, you're sort of inviting not-so-easy consequences.
Well, exactly.
That was easy.
It's overconfident.
It is overconfident.
But it's a brilliant
it's
present.
Fate.
Thank you very much indeed. That's exciting. And you stand by for one of your presents in the next half hour.
Adam and Joe.
Naughty.
nipples.
Oh, I'm sorry. Listen, do you mind if I break it?
Are you going to smash it?
No, I just wanted to open it. I just wondered whether it was... it's quite a big toy.
Yeah.
They should have made it so you could record other things on it.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I mean, it's absolutely worth it.
How much did it cost?
I'm sorry. It cost a few quid.
Really? £5?
I don't... maybe I was tired or something, but when I saw it, it made me chuckle. Why would it make me chuckle?
I don't know. Well, you could stick it somewhere inappropriate.
Big button. Well, it's a nice object, though, don't you think? It's a nice big red button. It's nice to push a big red button.
Isn't it just?
Don't you think, maybe... That's the kind of thing I was thinking that someone might give to Barack Obama or someone like that.
Yes.
Someone with a finger on a nuclear button.
Yes.
It would be a fun gift to give them. Or do you think it would be frowned upon?
Well, I think it would evoke nuclear... catastrophe kind of thoughts, wouldn't it?
If journalists found out that Barack Obama had a big red button that said, "That was easy," every time he pressed it right next to the nuclear button, that would go down badly with the voters, wouldn't it? Probably.
It's confused my head, the button.
Don't worry, throw it away.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not going to throw it away. I'll give it to charity.
Give it to some homeless guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That might not be the right kind of message to send. Things aren't particularly easy for people like that.
I know. That's the point.
So listen,
yeah.
This year's been a big year for me, Adam.
Yes.
Because this is the year I've begun to be a professional cyclist.
That's right.
As you know, in about, in early summer I started cycling. 3.5 miles into work, 3.5 miles out.
Yeah.
7 miles a day. It's been very exciting, but it's introduced me to various new dangers and terrors. The terror of pedestrians.
Right.
What's a good short word to describe a pedestrian?
Peds.
Peds, yeah.
That's what we call them, yeah.
Is it? Peds?
Yeah, peds.
That worries me, the way they just step out into the road without looking behind them.
Yeah, it happens.
Couriers, they frighten me in vans.
Koreans?
Couriers.
Oh.
Delivery couriers.
Yeah.
They're terrifying. Courier vans are terrifying. And this year I've gotten angrier than ever before whilst driving.
Right.
And I've started sort of shouting at cars.
Oh, really?
And tut-tutting, yeah.
Because I remember you talking before about the bad behaviour of cyclists and how annoying you found it as a
car driver.
Well,
I've switcherooed all the way around.
Switcherooed.
Do you get angry with other vehicles when you're on the road?
No, I don't, actually. I'm past all that. I've been cycling for nearly 20 years now.
Really?
And I think that the best thing to do is go safely, try not to annoy anybody.
What if someone annoys you, though?
I don't generally get too crazy about it. The worst thing that ever happened to me on my bike... that was a deliberate act of outrageousness from a passerby, was some drunk guy one evening pushed me. Like, he pushed me while I was at the lights. He wanted me to topple off the bike. And then one time some yobs leaned out of a car when I was in Edinburgh and they were driving past. And they pushed me. And they pushed me into the traffic. And I chased them for about 3 miles and took photographs of their number plate.
Oh, I think I remember that story.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the worst thing that's ever happened. Generally, you know, if you're careful and you keep yourself to yourself, things are okay. I say that now. But
what if someone drives past you on your bike and leaves a clearance of about 2 centimetres between your handlebar and the side of their car?
Well...
At high speed.
At high speed.
Yeah.
You've got to get used to it, boy.
Do you think?
You've got to take it in your stride, yeah, because it happens a lot.
What if you shout a swear word at them? As they drive past.
Yeah, that's standard
quite
practice.
Loudly.
Sure.
What if their window is down and they heard? What if they stop? What if they get out of the car and come at you?
Ooh.
Now, you'd think you'd be on the safer ground because you're on a bicycle. You don't have to just stick to the road. You can go on the pavement. You could take a shortcut down an alley.
Yeah.
You could get away, couldn't you?
Right.
Would you ever do that? Do you ever fantasise about a chase between an irate motorist and you on your bike?
Sure.
And whether it would end in a fight, who would win?
Mm-hmm.
Whether the bike would win? Bike versus car is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
In a city-based showdown. This is what I'm proposing.
Right.
In all major cities in Britain, there's currently conflict between cycling and vehicles.
Yeah.
Because government are trying to push you onto your bicycle, but they're not rearranging the roads so that it's safe. Sometimes when I cycle to work, at particular junctions, there are big groups of policemen hiding round the corner. Seriously, at Kennington Cross... waiting for cyclists to shoot the lights.
What?
And then they pounce and fine people.
For goodness sake.
It's ridiculous. But those are the dangers that lie in store for a cyclist. So I think this problem should be settled by a massive war between cyclists and car drivers.
There already is one.
Yeah, but it would be organised and have rules. You clear the whole centre of the city, All car drivers who dislike cyclists get in their cars. All cyclists who dislike car drivers get on their bikes, and it's a fight to the death.
Oh, really?
These are the rules. Bikes can go anywhere, and cars can go anywhere. On pavements, upstairs, wherever you can fit or your engine is capable of going, you can go. Who would win?
I think the car drivers would win.
What if all the bicycles converged on the top of a multi-storey car park and blockaded the entrance? I think the bikes would win.
Yeah.
Because there are more places that cars can't get than bikes can't get.
Sure.
So I'm not suggesting we have these wars, but I think everyone should think about it and realise that bicycles would win. And, you know, car drivers should realise that they're actually on slightly shaky ground.
Right.
And be more subservient to bicycles.
So did this happen to you, like some guy get out of his car and
come? No, only in my head.
It'll happen to you sooner or later.
Will it? Has it happened to you, a guy get out of his car and come at you?
Well, you know, I went for the guy, personally.
Did you?
I went over, I tapped on his window, I made him wind it down, and in fact, he wouldn't wind it down, so I opened his door, the passenger door. I looked back at it as an act of
what about
folly?
Bikes versus cars versus pedestrians.
Right.
Who would win?
What about bikes versus cars versus aliens?
Well, that's unrealistic.
Versus monsters.
That's unrealistic, isn't it?
But it's more fun.
Whereas bikes versus cars versus pedestrians is realistic. It could happen.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, who would win? Bikes.
Aliens.
Aliens. Adam. 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 Adam and Joe.
This is Adam and Joe here on a Boxing Day morning on BBC Six Music. Wonderful to have you along, listeners. And your present-giving ceremonies may have concluded, but ours have only just begun.
Sometimes you get presents on Boxing Day because Auntie Nubbins and Uncle Fiddles come round.
Auntie Nubbins is welcome, but Uncle Fiddles has been banned from our house.
Well, he's just out, isn't he? He's just come out, so you've got to ease him back into society.
Come out of the closet?
No, prison.
Oh, okay.
Because he fiddled his taxes.
Come out of the prison closet. Our family come and join us in the countryside after Christmas, right? Because we do Christmas, Christmas.
So you send your kids away for Christmas?
In-laws. No,
and
no,
then they
no.
Come and join you.
Like my family, mum and dad.
Extended family.
Yeah. So we have Christmas with my in-laws, and then the Buxton family descend a few days after Christmas. So actually, we're going to be having our present-giving ceremony. I've put myself to sleep. Myself to sleep. Sorry, listeners, I'm a little bit.
Listen, I was going to give you a present, but I'm not anymore because you're the most boring man in the world.
and then my parents.
Listen, no, I've changed my mind. You're a great guy, and here's the prezi.
Okay,
here it is. Adam and I are giving each other prezis because it's a special Christmas time.
You've gone for the newspaper wrapping.
Yeah, I've gone for the Mirror. It's your favourite tabloid.
Love it.
Slightly left-leaning tabloid.
Sport pages.
Yeah, the sport. Your favourite thing.
My favourite page, mate.
Now, can you guess what
Kick it
is? It. You'll just go. Buckles is just going straight for the unwrapping.
Well,
he's not doing any of the fun.
Distracted by the sport page.
Accompanying activities.
Right.
What do you think it is?
Inside.
Describe it, the shape and the size to the listeners.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at just under A4 size here.
A5, probably.
A5, and it feels like some kind of pamphlet or slim book, stroke magazine.
Do you think? Are you already thinking it's a bit rubbish because of its lack of weight and heft?
Not necessarily.
And thinness.
It might be a sticker book. In which case,
the best thing
I'd
could
be made up. It could be the Hannah Montana sticker book.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a Panini book? They're the kings of these sticker books, aren't they? Panini. They used to be when I was young.
Are the sticker kings?
They're Italian. Panini.
Is it Gino Di Campo? Does he have something to do with it?
Yes, he ran
the Panini. Look at the Hannah Montana stickers. I can't believe it. Okay, I'm going to pull out the book now from the sports page. And it is... It's a comic. It's a comic called Female Force. And on the front is Oprah Winfrey. And the comic is called Oprah Winfrey. And
it's a comic book biography of Oprah Winfrey.
Is it really?
And it's designed to motivate women to achieve things that she's achieved.
No, it's not ironical.
Well, it's Female Force. Of course it's not ironical.
Female Force.
Yeah, it's inspiring. It's her life story, beautifully illustrated in comic book form.
Well,
I bought it in America.
Oprah has been rendered in comic
form on the front of the book, and she looks a little bit like Beyonce there. You know, she doesn't look exactly as Oprah does in real life, wouldn't you say?
I think they've captured her oprosity pretty clearly. And it's a stirring book, and I don't think you should take the mickey out of it. I think you should try and learn from it.
Sure I will. Page one, first panel. Easter Sunday, 1957. Two ladies in church with fancy hats. One of them says, "She sure is someone special." The other lady says, "Hattie Mae, that child is gifted." And then in the background is a little girl with pigtails, and her cheeky face is that of the young Orpah. And she says, "Jesus rose on Easter Day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, all the angels did proclaim." And then someone says, out of the panel, we can't see who is saying it, "3-year-old, and she's already reading." "Writing too, girl.
She was gifted from the very beginning.
Going somewhere. She's
from the very beginning, even when she was a tiny child attending church, it was clear she was gifted and going to go on to great things. And it's quite a topical gift because, of course, Oprah's recently announced that she's stopping her program after 2 years, which would be the end of a historical era in American broadcasting.
Wow.
She's the most powerful, richest woman in the world.
And then there are...
Is she the richest, most powerful woman in the world? No.
She is. Yeah, she's one of
them.
She is.
Yeah. That's the way to answer a question on Boxing Day.
And then they've got illustrated panels like these. They've illustrated in cartoon form classic moments from Orpah's life, right? Mm. There's one picture here of the transgender lady who was pregnant, even though she had turned herself into a man.
Yes.
She's got a little scraggly beard. There's a picture of Orpah admiring a plus-sized woman.
Great moments from her show.
Revealing her beautiful body.
Do you think if we made one of these easy-style buttons with Boggins noises on it, do you think that would be the most irritating executive toy ever designed?
Yeah, that would be like... Do you remember the annoying thing, the frog? What was it called?
The crazy frog.
Yeah, crazy frog. It would be like that, wouldn't it? Joe, I can't tell you how pleased I am.
It's pretty good, isn't it? With the Oprah Winfrey story in comic
fantastic.
Book form. And forthcoming in the same series, Female Force, is a comic book biography of Stephanie Meyer, the author of the Twilight novels.
Ah.
So no powerful woman can avoid the comic book treatment. That was a tortured sentence.
Presumably they're going to do one on Fern Cotton at some stage.
Well, I would imagine they started with that.
That's what inspired
it. It's a nice drawing, isn't it? Very high quality artwork. In the Female Force comics. I think that'll teach you some valuable things there, Adam.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. I'm already feeling a little bit inspired and a little bit turned on.
Maybe you should take over from Oprah. Have your own daytime talk show.
This song is playing on the radio. Hey-ho, come on, let's go. Listen to the song on the radio. This is the song that is playing right now.
If Santa was really chocolate, how long do you think he'd survive?
He'd be fine because he's generally in cold conditions that would preserve his
body. What if he's coming down a chimney? What if he's coming down a chimney?
Well, the
think of your crinkle basics. Your fundamental festive basics, your building blocks.
Your funny dementals.
Mm.
He's going to melt, isn't he, when he gets to the bottom?
He is going to melt if someone hasn't put the fire.
How does he deal with that situation anyway when he's coming down the chimney?
He's got fireproof panties.
Does he?
Of course.
Well, why wouldn't they protect the chocolate?
They would.
Speaking of which, do you want a matchmaker? Look,
I'd love a matchmaker. Matchmakers, if you are living in a foreign country that doesn't have matchmakers, they're like matches but made of chocky. Mm-hmm. And they have sort of crystalline bits of sweetie goodness, so either orange-flavoured or
cool
minty-flavoured. This is cool mint. And the trick with matchmakers is to take 6 or 7 at once in a bunch, like a bunch of twigs, and just eat them all at once.
Oh, man. Wow, you really did that.
This is a matchmaker's in heaven.
Yeah. What kind of... are you getting a stocking? Did you get a stocking yesterday?
I don't know. I can't remember.
It's not a tradition, though.
No, stockings aren't a tradition in our house.
My wife loves stockings.
I think we have a very different Christmas in our house to yours. We have a very minimal kind of, stripped-down... non-material Christmas. It sounds as if I'm poo-pooing your Christmas.
It sounds as if you're stripping down, but I know that you're worshipping Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is that?
So you're stripping down and worshipping Satan. I mean, that's partly different from... It's not so different from our Christmas.
Would you spend Christmas in the nude?
Yeah.
Do you think? I mean, it's a time when you're only around family.
It's a fun thing.
It's nothing no one's seen before.
No,
what?
Exactly.
It's nothing anybody hasn't seen before.
That's right. Hey, the fire's died down.
Here we go. Just a little bit of blowing on the embers down there. Mm. There
mate,
we go. Look at that.
Mate, that's not the fire you're blowing on, mate.
Oh.
That's my face.
Well, something else has caught fire.
The feelings. Hey, listen. How do you feel? How's that rosé, sparkling rosé going
it's
down?
It's really delicious.
It's better than the other stuff, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I've got a very low alcohol tolerance level. And frankly, I'm on planet booze.
You know, when I was coming here to the studio on the train today, there were some women on the train with tins of lager. And I love a woman with a tin of lager. Mm. Because, you know, everyone loves groups of men drinking tins of lager, right? That's a great thing to see. It's a fun it's a fun atmosphere.
You always know you're going to get some quality conversation.
Yeah.
Fun times.
Especially on a train. Like, you know, if they've each got about four or five tins of lager each.
Lined up for the journey.
And it makes me think, hey, I wish
they're
I could
they're
going
to have a good time. Hence, everyone around
right
them will have a good time.
Guys. Exactly. Sometimes what I do
fun
is
infectious.
If there's four guys sat around a table there, what I'll ask them to do is maybe one of them, hey, would you mind moving over a seat just so I could sit with the rest of the guys there?
Guys, yeah.
So I move, hey, is there any way that I could have one of those tins? Because I would like to join in with the group.
A tinny.
And I've had many good times that way. But if there's one thing I love more than that scenario, it's to see a group of quite rough-looking women drinking some tins of lager on the train. Because that, to me, is the height of womanosity. Mm. We were talking about Oprah earlier on. You got me a lovely Oprah comic to inspire people everywhere. But it's an inspiring sight to see a woman really drunk, don't you find?
Well, I think it would be unfair to make that distinction gender-based.
Right.
You know, why shouldn't a woman be drunk?
This is what I'm saying.
As a man?
No, I'm so glad that it's one of the things that women have finally sorted out. Hey, you know, men get to carouse in large groups and behave badly and drink lager out of tins.
Have you not seen Ibiza Uncovered, though? This has been going on for years.
Yeah.
Women have really seized the baton when it comes to getting very drunk.
Sure, that's what I'm saying.
I think that's true historically, though.
Is it?
Yeah. Women love a drink, so do men. I don't think there's a useful gender distinction to be made. In fact, I think it could come across as sexist and reductive.
That's what I'm hoping.
And that's not very Christmassy. Santa hates those things.
I was thinking sexy and reductive.
Ah, that's very different.
That's a Spinal Tap joke, though, isn't it? That's forever associated with Spinal Tap, to say something is sexy rather
than sexist.
What's
wrong with being sexy?
What's wrong with being sexy?
Jingles. Christmas jingles. Where's the bells for the jingles? Who nicked the jingle bells?
Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music on Boxing Day. This is a pre-recorded show, so please, no texts or emails. It'll be a total waste of your time.
It'd be wrong for a DJ to eat during his co-presenter's link on any other day apart on Boxing Day.
Man, you've gone for the Yule log there.
What is a Yule log?
What is a real Yule log or a...
What is a real Yule log?
A real Yule log is you've got a log, a wooden log.
Mm-hmm. That and, much I deduced.
And you have decorated it in a Christmas style.
Why would you do that?
Because it's Christmas.
Decorating and, logs?
Yeah, yeah. You decorate the log and you put it in the hearth.
Oh,
there.
And then do you light it on Christmas Day?
Sure.
You set a fire to the things you've decorated it with?
Yeah, you remove any of the plastic decorations.
Sounds like a load of BS to me.
Well, you just carry on eating your chocolate log and don't worry about it, all right? Just carry on worshipping Satan in the nude.
I don't worship Satan, but I do spend Christmas nude. Anyway, there's nothing evil about being nude.
No, I didn't say there
was. Might be something evil about you being nude.
Well, listen, you're giving me a hard time for everything I'm saying. I tried to do a sort of ironical, cockeyed look at women drinking lager on trains. That gets thrown out as being sexist and reductive. Now I'm being poo-pooed for not being nude on Christmas Day and worshipping Satan. Just unwrap your present.
I don't worship Satan. I just admire him. I don't. He's terrible. He's awful. Well, thank you very much. There's a lovely gift that Adam's just given me.
I don't think he exists, you know.
Well, he's an idea, isn't he?
He's an idea. You don't want to go with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, this is a wonderful present and... I should describe it for the listeners. It's definitely a book.
Sure.
I can 100% say that it's a book.
I have a mince pie.
I haven't unwrapped it yet. I'm trying to describe it through the wrapping. Yeah, it's definitely a book. It's a hardback book, and it's quite thick, so it's probably maybe something by Alain de Botton.
Similar, very
perhaps,
similar.
Maybe it's something by Malcolm Gladwell. You like his nonsense publications.
Come on, he's brilliant. Yeah, he? Pop psychology.
I'm going to open it. This is what I like to do, listeners. I like to open the present with my eyes closed, right? I don't know why I find this so satisfying. And I like to hold it up in front of my face, but my eyes are still closed.
Have you got no idea at all what it is?
I've got no idea what it is, but I'm actually rubbing it against my face.
How does it smell?
Smells like a rubbish autobiography.
Well,
from one of those shops. Half
right, half right. It is by no means rubbish. It should smell of success because it is.
It's Ant and Dec's biography. Ooh, what a lovely pair! We were talking about this only a few weeks ago,
right?
And this is a book that the public have been waiting for years. They've been clamouring for Ant and Dec to set down their story in historical record. Looking at the spine, it has two segments of photos. Looking at those photos, they are full colour.
Brilliant.
I love photos.
Inscription in the front?
There is an inscription in the front from Adam Buxton. Dear Joe, I have been and always will be the PJ to your Duncan. Love, Adam. A kiss. Christmas 2009. That looks a bit like a four. That's good stuff. That's very kind of you. And was this full price or has it come down in price?
That was reduced by £7.
Was it reduced? Yeah. Was it from a shop which might perhaps stock returns? Or was it a shop that has newly... Well, I'm just wondering.
Give us it. This is a great book. I haven't actually read it myself, but I leafed through it. And I've read a couple of reviews and I can tell you that you are going to enjoy reading this. And you better read it properly as well. Don't just sort of flick over it in some kind of sarcastic way.
Are you allowed
way.
To issue threats with Christmas presents?
Yeah, boy, definitely.
Is that in the spirit of Christmas?
Here we go. There's a little good sample passage to read. And you know the reason I bought you this book, Joe, is to remind you what we could have been. Right? If we had played our cards right. This could have been Adam and Joe. Ooh, what a lovely pair.
This is the paragraph you want me to pay attention to, the emboldened one?
Yeah, it's something that you and I have gone through ourselves.
It marked our first exposure as Ant and Dec. We went for Ant and Dec in that order, because it was PJ and Duncan. PJ was Ant and, well, you get the rest. I've been asked about this, but I never argued for it to be Dec and Ant. I never even really thought about it. It's not really a big deal. Honestly, I'm fine with it, I really am. It's not like I still lie awake at night thinking about it, or it secretly bothered me for years or anything like that. Is that supposed to be
I don't know,
ironic?
I can't tell if he's joking or not. Like, has it ever bothered you that it's Adam and Joe?
It might have bothered me a little bit for the first couple of years of our relationship.
No, really?
Well, only like every little thing.
It was only
me.
That because it's scanned, the Adam
of
and
course,
Joe
I know,
show.
Of course, I know. But, you know, it's just one of those, if I'm feeling back in 15 years ago, whenever it was, if I was feeling disenfranchised in some way, it would be grist to my mental mill.
Oh my god.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's weird because people do read stuff into it. Like, we get the occasional email from someone saying, "Dear Joe and Adam, there, I flipped the order." Like, it never crossed my mind that it meant anything. It's not like a billing thing.
It scanned well, didn't it?
Yeah,
it
exactly. Well.
But obviously it's a really serious problem for Ant or Dec.
Anyway, there you go. I hope you read the whole book properly.
That's a terrific, terrific present.
I paid a lot of money for that.
Did you know? That's really
kind. That's your most ex-present. I can't even speak anymore. Let's play some more music. Nice little bit of Booker T and EMGs bubbling away in the background. And we've got the fire here. This is Adam and Joe. We're in our special Christmas hut for this special Boxing Day show. And it's lovely and warm inside. It's cold outside. We're pre-recording this in our hut, incidentally, so please don't email or text us because, unfortunately, we won't be able to read your messages. But we still value your company and we're very grateful that you're listening. We've been exchanging gifts as well. Joe has given me a wonderful comic about the life of Oprah Winfrey, a female force comic. It's very inspiring.
Adam has given me a novelty desktop sort of executive toy, which is a big red button marked easy. When you press it, someone says that was easy.
Go on, press it.
I can't press it.
Please press
it. I think
it.
Anyone who's listened since the beginning of the show will be annoyed with it.
But what about people who've just...
That was easy.
Yes.
There we go.
People who've just tuned in is like, hey, whoa, what was that? This is a good show.
He's also given me Ant and Dec's autobiography, Ooh, What a Lovely Pair, which refers to them as a pair, a pair of performers, Ant and Dec, and also either their testicles or maybe a woman's breasts.
I don't think it refers to testicles very often, does it?
Well, a pair, it could be.
Who says, ooh, what a lovely pair about someone's...
Well, because they're men, it wouldn't Jonads. Necessarily refer to breasts, because they don't have breasts.
No one talks
I'm
about
just making it accessible for women as well.
Way.
Well, have you not seen New Moon?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Well, there's a new sexism going on.
Is there?
A new level of objectification of men.
Oh, of men.
Yeah,
right.
And in the film New Moon, the characters, the male characters reveal their chests
uh-huh.
in a similar way to a woman would have revealed her chest maybe in the 40s or 50s.
A similar way to a woman would have revealed her chest.
Yeah, a wooden woman.
Would you like some more champagne?
From wood. I think I've had too much. Do you get my point, though?
Yes, I do.
A serious point.
What?
There.
Do the women in the film swoon when they see the man nipples and stuff?
Well, the women in the audience certainly swoon.
Do they?
Yeah, they gasp and cheer like because they're at a Take That concert.
Because they're so chiseled, all the pectorals.
They're different types of male breasts. Robert Pattinson, who plays the male vampire, has flat, pale man breasts.
Uh-huh.
Taylor Lautner, who was the boy in Shark Boy and Lava Girl, has now grown into a young man, and he has gym ones.
He's got what?
Gym ones. He's been at the gym. He's
oh,
got
I see.
Big kind
gym
of pecs.
Ones.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not like Jimmy Nail ones.
No, that's for the third film.
That's the kind of ones I've got.
That's for the... You might be... Well, Taylor,
are there any that are just like mine that are just
well,
big
I'm thinking
and
like Robert Pattinson is a vampire,
yeah.
And Taylor Lautner is a werewolf. So werewolves, when they're men, have sort of gym chests.
Mm.
Vampires, when they're men, have flat chests. You've got Jimmy Nail chest. So what creature would you morph into? Boggins. Does he exist in the Twilight Saga?
He exists in every fictional universe.
Outside my tiny little cafe in Paris, you'll find two men called Adam and Joe. All day they sit just talking away. Sometimes I listen and hear what they say. A blah 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 waffles. A blah 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 pancakes. They're making a podcast apparently. It sounds like a load of old crap to me. Oh, I am making the joke.
Listen, have you ever had a job where you have done something naughty? You sort of sabotaged the thing that you were making in your job. I once worked on a wine production line when I was a teenager. And I was responsible for putting the foil caps on the tops of the bottles. So I would sit next to this production line and hundreds of closely packed bottles would come past me in a row. And with a simple gesture with my right hand, I would pop these foil caps on bottle after bottle for 8 hours a day with 1 hour off for lunch.
Yeah, the gesture of Onan.
Yeah. I got bored of this very repetitive task, so I would chew gum, a French brand of gum, because I was doing this job in Bordeaux as a holiday job. Yeah, Hollywood gum, do you remember?
Hollywood,
it's a French brand of chewing
it's
gum.
It's so tasty when it goes in the mouth,
le limon.
But taste wears off after about
very,
10
very
minutes.
Quickly, yes.
Very quickly.
So I would pop the chewing gum between the cork and the foil lid.
What?
To give the person who opened the bottle a little bit of fun when they tried to put the corkscrew.
A little Hollywood surprise.
Yeah. Do you think that's a good thing to do?
That is a weird thing to do. I mean, the thing is that would basically be there for years and years, right? If it's a nice bottle of wine.
Here's another story, because I think a lot of people do this kind of thing when you're doing kind of repetitive labour. You've got to think
of something to
liven up your day.
Yeah.
I heard that Prince Charles's tailors would write anarchic slogans inside the lining of his jackets.
Whoa.
And it's become a kind of tradition.
Yeah.
Because they know that Prince Charles will never look inside the lining of the jacket. He will always send it off to get mended. But it gives them great satisfaction that there are anarchic anti-monarchy slogans written.
Anti-monarchy? You don't know that for sure, though.
This is a speculative, spurious, third-hand story.
Right.
Okay?
About
no,
James
it's not.
Taylor
I don't know
Roger
that it's
Taylor.
True.
That's unbelievable.
Here's another one I heard.
Reeling from that bombshell.
A friend of mine was reading Hugh Hudson's autobiography. He directed Chariots of Fire Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan. Then he had a problem with a film called Revolution.
Yeah.
And they had to stop him directing.
He went to director jail.
Yeah. Well, he came out again. He's made several films recently. But when he was working in an egg factory, he used to write obscene words inside the lid of the egg box.
Yeah. Was that the Eggbox 360?
It was the Eggbox 360, The Elite as well. Wow. HDMI.
It's the best kind of Eggbox you can get.
Have you ever done that kind of thing?
What was he writing them in there with?
A pen. Good question, though.
Seems like a lot of effort to go to. He had a little obscenity pen. Yeah, but I'm just wondering, how has he got the time?
Well, he was bored. He was putting eggs into egg boxes. That's kind of the point.
Is he not on a production line, though?
Yeah.
I want to know the facts about it. This, again,
is a secondhand story, but that's what I heard. But I think that's quite a common thing to do if you have to do a repetitive, boring job. You find ways to perk it up a little bit.
Sure, you stamp a bit of individuality on the whole
exercise.
We're
not saying this is a good thing to do or the right thing to do.
Come on, how can it hurt?
But it's fun.
Here's the thing. What if Prince Charles one day snags his jacket on a branch?
Rips it.
Or a deer.
And someone's written, Prince Charles is a fool.
Exactly.
On the inside of
or
the lining.
Or Prince Ponce, !
Or the royal family are an anachronism. in big letters, though.
He would be hopping
with
bananas.
With a drawing of a bottom.
With a drawing of a little
of
hairy
a man's
bum.
Bottom.
Exactly. With the drawing of a kilt being raised up.
Oh, that's too much, man.
And a little hairy bum.
I don't
bum.
Think that kind of thing can be broadcast,
sorry,
is it?
That's a bit
on
much
the big
for
British castle.
Boxing Day. Sure it is. He would be absolutely insane with anger.
He would be insane.
And he would track down Roger Taylor and James Taylor and all the other Taylors, and he would say, "Which one of you chaps done that on my inside jacket?"
That'd be trouble, wouldn't there? Heads would roll.
He's got a very distinctive voice. I don't know why I went for Brian Blessed to impersonate him.
Yes, it's more like this.
Exactly. Now, was it Roger Taylor or James Taylor that did the writing inside my jacket there?
Have you ever done anything like that, though, Count Buckley's?
I can't think. I mean, I used to work in a restaurant, so there wasn't so much scope for actually... You know, these weren't products that were going elsewhere. They were instantly consumed. Mm. And there's all kind of terrible ways of getting revenge on customers that people in restaurants do. Yeah,
that's a different story, though.
Spitting and bogeys and all sorts of terrible things.
Oh, the DJ playing the song is cool. And the station he works for is the best in the world. The show he presents is number one in the city. Radio is great. Please play me, I'm pretty.
There you go. Now you can hear the fire. It's nice and toasty. We're nice and close to the fire, listeners.
There's nothing like a real fire, is there?
No, and this is nothing like a real fire.
Do you know what I love to do?
What?
I love to go to sleep in front of a fire.
Do you? That's dangerous.
You've got to put the guard in front first and stay at a safe distance.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like turning out all the lights and just having the flickering fire. And what the fire actually does is it drains the oxygen from the air immediately around you, so it actually puts you to sleep.
Does it?
Which, you're right, is dangerous, probably, but under controlled, safe conditions with another fully awake fire safety officer in the room, it's fine.
Have you ever fallen asleep in front of the fire in the nudos with your beautiful lady partner and a sheepskin draped over you like James Bond?
Yeah, but I usually have the sheepskin draped over my face and the rest of my nude body is exposed. Yeah, some... I'm not sure that I have, actually.
All those romantic things are totally impractical in real life.
Why? Because all the fur gets up your gizms.
Yeah, because you'd be in the front of the fire. After a while, all your extremities would get too hot. And your eggs would get scrambled. You'd have to back off. It's ludicrous. It's like people having special baths and lighting candles and stuff. Do you remember that guy that wrote in and said that he had a film show in his bath with his girlfriend?
We were watching Shower.
Sat there and he watched Shower or whatever it was for however many hours in the bath.
Hi, Matt.
It just seemed insane. Listen, get another present.
It's present time, listeners. Because it's Boxing Day and Adam and I didn't see each other on Christmas Day, we're doing our present giving today. Adam's already given me Anton Deck's biography, Ooh, What a Lovely Pair.
I actually bought that with my own money.
£13 it cost him, reduced from £20 to £30.
I don't even have a receipt that I
He's
can give
me
into
an executive
the BBC.
Toy. I've given him a comic book a comic book biography of Oprah Winfrey.
Thanks
Oprah or
that.
Oprah?
Opera.
Oprah Winfrey, Female Force series, very good. Now I've got two more presents left for you, Adam.
Hoo-ha.
One of them is like quite a serious present.
Oh.
And it's and you might and the other one is a more flippant present.
Is it Tony Blair?
Which one would you like?
I would like the serious one.
Okay. And I think you've probably got this already.
Mm?
So this is interesting, listeners.
Is it a baby son?
It's a book. And I would imagine you've already got this.
Oh.
It would be very good if you didn't. But now we can see whether Count Buckley's can lie successfully about being given something
I can't lie.
He's already got. Now, my lady partner's birthday was recent, and a good friend of hers gave her a DVD, which I clearly knew we already had. And he said, I really hope you don't have this. Here it is. It's wonderful. Yeah. And she opened it. We did have it. She knew we had it. But she lied. She said no.
Lied.
And I couldn't. It was on the tip of my tongue going, of course we've got this. In fact, I think I'd even talked about it to the friend who was giving it. But I said nothing. I said nothing.
You know,
it seemed to me like a sort of a shallow charade that was being played out.
It's tricky, though. In this situation right now, because we're on the radio, I will tell you the truth. If I have it, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But actually, if it's a real situation, someone's gone out and bought something for you, they're excited about giving it to you, they've spent their own money on it.
Well, that's this situation. I'm excited about... I really hope you haven't got it. And I will be... I'd be so much happier if you didn't have it. And he went, oh, I didn't even know this had been published. It's like it's been written for me. Because it's like this book has been written for you, seriously.
Okay.
It's a book about something you love doing.
This is going to be quite insulting, isn't it?
By somebody you love.
Right.
Do you know what it is? Can you guess what it is?
About something
A book
I love
about
doing.
Something you do a lot.
Is it Men in Their Sheds or something?
No, by somebody you love. Anyway, there we go.
Is it a book by Giles Brandreth about self-pleasuring?
No. It was published in Britain in the summer.
Oh, wow. This is The Bicycle Diaries by David Byrne.
Have you got that?
Ex-lead singer of Talking Heads. I didn't even know this existed.
Oh, I popped the receipt in there. Whoops, really? And that receipt.
Oh, wow.
So it's a book all about cycling written by David Byrne from the Talking
Co-founder
Heads.
Co-founder of the musical group Talking Heads. David Byrne has also released several solo albums, blah, 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 blah. And this is... since the early 1980s, renowned musician and visual artist David Byrne has been riding a bike as his principal means of transportation in New York City. You know what? I put a video piece of his on my blog a while back with him. He'd got like a helmet cam and he was riding around New York City giving a little running commentary as he cycled to a show that he was doing. And it's one of the most wonderful bits of footage that I've seen for ages. Mainly because I absolutely adore David Byrne and everything he does, so I was just bewitched by the sound of his voice. But B, you know, I love to cycle as well. New York City, always great to see that place, right?
Hey, would you like a hot dog? Why, New York, what are you doing, Drakey? Get out of the way. Oh, you want a Big Apple or an even bigger one? Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing. And I didn't know this existed. This is a great present,
man. Is he lying, though, listeners?
Of course I'm not lying.
I don't think he isn't lying. I know him well enough. He's not lying.
I can't lie that well. This is amazing.
It's a beautiful edition. It's a hardback edition. I bought it for you in Borders in Santa Monica.
And look, it is even... You can even... I love books like this. It's even got a flick book picture down on the bottom.
Has it? There you go, Byrne. He doesn't miss a trick. Of a little cycling man.
I love it. How fantastic. That's a proper good present, man.
Pleasure.
I feel bad now that I got you all that rubbish.
Well, hey, I've still got one to come, right? It could be a good one.
Well, it's kind
Don't
of
shatter my illusions.
Shatter
I
my
bet
illusions.
It's going to be really good.
I didn't. Yeah, but...
Don't shatter my illusions.
I'm not worried about your illusions now. I'm worried about the fact that, you know, you've suddenly shifted the present-giving parameters.
I've upped the ante.
Into, like, something
It's a game-changer.
It is a game-changer. That is a good present.
Oh, I think if I threw this cork at our producer James's head, it would like bounce off in a satisfying way.
Listeners, I've got to tell you that Joe is not a drinker normally, right? And he's had like three little paper
Put your
cups
head up, James.
Of sparkling
Please.
Wine.
Please, it's not going to hurt. I just want to see it ting off. No, don't header it. I just want to see it boing off.
We've had to go.
Oh,
he's just thrown the cork at James.
It
missed
bounced,
him.
It bounced off the back of the chair. It was even. It did the same thing. It did the bounce.
I haven't seen Joe like this for a long time, since we were like 14-year-olds and we used to drink too much for fun. But he's gone a bit.
Is that how out of hand I get, throwing a cork from a distance of 3 feet at a man's head?
All right, here's another podcasting, breaking up the chat with some music. Yeah, we got this thing off GarageBand, but it's free, you know, anyone can use it.
Thanks for joining us, listeners. We hope you're having a lovely Boxing Day. We're coming to you in a pre-recorded fashion from our little log cabin just outside the walls of the castle. We've got a fantastic log fire going and we're both wearing our Christmas outfits. Adam and I make Christmas extra Christmassy by wearing a special selection of clothes for the Christmas period. Adam, what have you got on? Talk us through your Christmas wardrobe.
Well, I've got, you can hear them there, I've got a pair of paper pants.
Mm-hmm. When you say pants, tell the listeners whether you mean underwear or trousers? Because American listeners might be confused.
Sure, sure, sure. I think the Americans would call them knickers.
Knickers. So you've got newspaper underpants made of newspaper.
Yeah.
Why do you wear underpants that are made of newspaper? Is it for ease of changing them when you soil them?
Yeah, I get through a lot. So, you know, I could use classier paper is what you're thinking, obviously, listeners. Why doesn't
What newspaper do you use? Do you use a broadsheet or a tabloid? Or does that depend on what you've eaten on the previous day?
I use a... I don't mind, really. I'll use whatever's lying around.
Right.
I like The Guardian.
Right, yeah, that's a lovely paper to make pants out of.
Oh, because it's...
What else are you wearing?
It's nicely balanced.
I mean, obviously, I can see what you're wearing, but I'm just thinking about this from the audience's
point
of view.
Sure, from the audience's point of view. Well, not that much more.
Mm.
I mean, I've got some...
I mean, you've made a bra out of tuppenny pieces.
Yeah.
Which is just two tuppenny pieces that seem to... You've drilled a little hole in each, and then you've passed some shoelace through them.
That's right.
And you've just positioned them over your nipples.
Tuppence pieces. I got them from a Christmas pudding.
Did you? Well, there are still some little bits of Christmas pudding on them.
Oh, that's not Christmas pudding.
Oh. What is it,
then? I'd rather not go into it. I saw Boggins earlier on today. He jumped up and started licking my face. How about you? What are you wearing?
Well, of course, every Christmas, what I tend to wear is a Santa hat.
Sure.
So I've got my Santa hat on. And then I've got, actually, my tuppence bra on as well.
Yeah, we've both got them.
But underneath, a sort of chainmail suit made out of Coke can ring pulls. So all year, I've been collecting Coke can ring pulls.
Yeah.
And I've been sort of sewing them together with little bits of thread. And I've actually made a whole sort of chainmail shirt. So that's really, really good looking, isn't it?
It's brilliant because it reminds me of the glory days of DIY fashion.
DIY fashion. Well, it's all back in action now.
Who was the lady that used to design a lot of the stuff like that from the Face
magazine?
What
I've done, she was called Carol Thatcher. And what I've actually done on my lower half... is I've actually cooked and wrapped spaghetti. And this is something you can do at home.
Yeah.
I've found the longest spaghetti sticks I could find in the organic spaghetti shop. I've boiled them up. And what I did was I wrapped them around my legs all the way up.
Yeah.
And then I've simply let them harden and crisp. And what they are, they're spaghetti long johns. And, of course, it was hard to wrap them around my upper torso because my biology gets a little more complex in terms of shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, up there.
Sure.
So, well, you know, the way... I've gone for a kilt.
What I like to
do... But with a very festive tartan on it.
And, you know, you brought up the subject of those areas. Mm. I call them the Netherlands.
Mm.
What I like to do with my Netherlands is wrap bacon around them. So it's like a kind of pig in a blanket.
That's dangerous at
it's
Christmas.
It's Christmassy!
Yeah, but wasn't there that time a couple of Christmases ago when your wife accidentally...
Oh, she stuck a cocktail stick in it, yeah. But at least she was interested.
That'll be the most disturbing family Christmas if Dad wrapped a piece of bacon around the old chap and just stood there at the table with it next to the turkey. One of these pig in a basket is not like the other one. One of these pig in a basket should not have a cocktail stick stuck through it.
Oh, this is classic. Check this out. It's classic, man. Oh, no. This is so classic. Yeah, look at that. It's classic. Sort of.
Now, Boxing Day can be a tricky time because often people are a little hungover from the day before.
Mm.
And, you know, maybe the Christmas spirit in some households may be wearing a little bit thin. And it's often the day when hideous arguments happen.
Sure.
Wouldn't you say? Children having tantrums? Grandpa getting out of hand?
Yeah, because, I mean, the children perhaps are expecting more presents. They got present withdrawal.
A little bit bored.
A bit spoiled. And, well, that's what TV's for on Boxing Day.
Right.
Or at least that's what it was traditionally for, to bring the family together on that most depressing of days. But not anymore. Everyone splits off into their own little universe and does... whatever they're doing, plays their video games or watches their MP3 videos.
Oh, I'm planning to have quite a video game heavy Christmas.
Are you?
Yeah, I want to get into the new Call of Duty.
Uh-huh.
I want to maybe get into Drake's Progress. What's it called? Uncharted.
How long are you spending on Call of Duty, for example, one session?
Like
a long session?
Half an hour.
Oh, really? That's not too bad.
Only because I've got too much other stuff to do at the moment.
Sure.
But over Christmas, time will be freed up a bit. That's the time to do, really. Totally unconstructive, indulgent things like that.
And you can easily limit yourself to just the half hour.
I'm going to kill so many digital people.
Well done.
It's going to be a digital massacre. Oh. Hundreds.
Yeah.
I read a video game review the other day and the magazine had put a KPM rating on it.
Kills per minute?
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Do you think that's a good way for culture to go?
Well, I suppose if it's so divorced from reality that they feel it's okay to joke about it, but for me, Joe, I'm a professional killer. I'm a professional mercenary, so to me it's not a joke.
Really?
Because it's my job. I go out and I hunt
down. It's true, isn't it? You're a big supporter of keeping Boggins alive, for instance.
Yeah.
So you think fictional killing is just as bad as real killing?
I do. I don't think it's not something you should joke about.
The K word.
Yeah, the K word.
Yeah.
Would you like a present?
I'd love a present.
Just the light in the atmosphere.
Adam and I are giving each other prezzies because we didn't see each other on Christmas Day. I've already got Anton Deck's biography. Ooh, what a lovely pair. Sort of punny title.
Joe gave me a cartoon about the life of Oprah Winfrey. A comic. And he also gave me a proper, seriously good present. David Byrne's book, Bicycle Diaries. Didn't even know it existed.
And if we're slurring our words and making more mistakes than usual, listeners, it's because we've got a bottle of sparkling rosé on the go.
Yeah.
Because it's Boxing Day and we're a tiny little bit tipsy. But that's okay if you're over 18 or 16 or whatever it is.
Exactly.
If you're under 16, stick to the Alco Pops.
No.
No, I'm sorry.
The Alco Pops.
That was a satirical comment.
Oh, was it?
That would be fine on Have I Got News For You.
Mop the Week.
Mop the Week. I wish someone would mop the week. It's been ridiculous. Politics is absurd.
I've gone to sleep.
Gordon Brown.
What was that?
So I said Gordon Brown.
Gordon Brown.
It's a CD. It's clearly a CD, this present that Adam's given me, listeners. Yeah, it's got another little smiley face on it. Yeah. This one's green, little smiley face sticker.
Little sticker.
Oh, it's Bob Dylan's Christmas songs. Now, to the...
I forgot to label the back.
To the untrained eye, this might seem like an actual commercially produced CD. Because the first thing that hits the eye are the words Bob Dylan's Christmas songs. And they've sort of got snow on the top of the letters.
Yeah, special font.
Yeah, snowy font. But the snow is sort of translucent... the lettering is white and the snow is sort of see-through, which makes it look less like snow and more like something Boggins might have deposited on the lettering.
It's true, isn't it? That bothered me as well when I was typing it out.
It's surround the image above that script is surrounded by a border of a sort of Greek square curlicue thing. What do you call that? It's like a traditional Greek border, so it's got a slightly, Greek
I wouldn't
feel.
Know what you call that.
It's and then the border. Image is of sort of a sad Santa. And he's got a kind of a mutant face. Is that your face in
no,
there?
No, that's Dylan's face
in
Dylan's there.
Dylan's face. I'm just used to you putting your face wherever
this
you can possibly put it.
This is an album that I have made for you, Joe.
Wow.
Of me singing in the style of Bob Dylan Christmas songs. And it's a combination of real Christmas songs like Ding Dong Merrily on High.
Right.
Do you want to hear Bob Dylan's version of Ding Dong Merrily on High?
Yes, please.
And this is...
Let's pop this CD in.
Because, of course, in case you didn't realise, listeners, Bob Dylan actually did release a Christmas CD this year, and his voice is completely wonkaloid now.
We've talked about this already.
Yeah, exactly. So here's my version of Ding Dong Merrily on High in a Bob Dylan style.
Hi, Rosanna. Great to see you. Wow, how have you been? Oh, hi, Joanna. Wonderful to see you, too. Ding dong merrily on high, the Christmas bells are ringing. Ding dong merrily on high, something, something singing. Joanna's got a shell suit. Rosanna lives in Chelsea.
That's just a little clip of Ding Dong Merrily on
Things
high.
Are really taking off for Dylan again.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a slump in his career and topicality, but he's really found a way to lift it. On the image on the front of the CD, it shows a sort of disenfranchised Santa, almost like a sort of homeless man or what you might call a beggar, sitting on a corner. He's in a Santa's outfit, but he's got a weird collecting tin and a sign round his neck. What does that sign say?
The sign says, sleigh broke. Down. The sleigh broke
the
down.
The sleigh broke down.
Yeah, that's why he's collecting.
Right, to try and repair the sleigh. Well,
exactly.
that's terrific. Are there any other tracks we can have a quick listen to on here?
Yeah, sure. There's a track that's very topical, and it's about something that many of us will be receiving this
Christmas.
What number
is it?
It is track one, and it is...
Have a listen.
All right, what have you got for Uncle Bob?
Oh, my favorite! Box set, DVD box set. Box set, DVD box set. Thank you very much for the DVD box set. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to watch it. Jonathan Creek, the in-betweeners and friends. So many episodes, the pleasure never ends. Deadwood, Alias, Life on Mars, and House. Oh, I love box sets, I really do. I love to watch them, and so do you. I plan to spend all my remaining years watching my box sets. Battlestar Galactica, the writing is complex. It's all about religion and politics and sex. Ooh, box set, DVD box set. Box set, DVD box set. Thank you very much for the DVD box set. Desperate Housewives. I love 24, I watch a season in a day. It only makes sense if you watch it that way. Bower every hour, my eyes are getting sore. Come on, Jack, torture terrorists more. What you mean you haven't seen The Wire yet? It shows about as brilliant as the television get. You have to watch a few before you start getting into it. My favorite one is Omar, but I love Stringer Bell. Did you know that he's English and McNulty is as well? No one watched it on TV, but they all got the box set.
He's in such good voice, isn't he?
He's in, actually, his voice kind of came together for that track. About DVD box
You know,
set.
I was going to give you as a present The Wire Season 1 DVD, because I thought, you know, it would be funny and I could say, hey, have you seen this? And I could rehearse the whole tedious Wire conversation. But you know what went through my mind?
What?
I thought, no, Adam will just go, oh, yeah, this is brilliant. I can lend it to someone else. Yeah. And you'd be all serious about it.
I would give it right back to you is what I'd do.
You would, to make me watch it.
I'd say, come on, sort your life out. The other day you were pouring buckets of scorn over me for not having seen the new Guy Ritchie film. You haven't even seen The Wire.
Yeah.
Talk about a gulf.
I've seen some of The Wire.
Cultural. What have you seen?
I've seen a bit of Series 3, quite a bit of Series 3.
Can't dip. It's not a dipper.
It's not a dipper. I done the dipping. It's delicious.
No dipping. Mm. So there you go. There's one more Dylan track on there. We might play before the end of the show. But
hey, that's up to me. It's my present. It's not yours anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Just because you composed it, I own it now.
He's drunk out of his mind.
Ah, this is pleasant.
This is a podcast. You downloaded it quite fast. Using your broadband and some clicks done by your hand. Now you're listening to it in your house or in your car or a boat or in a plane. Hope it's nice wherever you are.
You know what? My paper cup that we've been drinking booze out of is disintegrating so that the bottom is threatening just to come right off because the booze has soaked right the way through the base.
My bottom's threatening to come right off.
What the heck is that all about? What kind of paper cups are these? Big British Castle paper cups.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Happy Boxing Day, listeners. We're coming to you in a pre-recorded fashion from our little wooden shack just outside the walls of the castle. And that crackling and snapping and popping you can hear is a lovely roaring log fire that we're keeping our cockles warm with.
Oh,
isn't it nice?
That is nice.
And we've been exchanging presents because that's the traditional thing to do. We didn't see each other on Christmas Day, so we're doing our present exchanging today. Adam's already given me two top-notch presents, Anton Deck's Biog, Bob Dylan Christmas Songs album. In fact, he's given me three. I just forgot about the really bad one. Is that a rude thing to say?
No, that's fair.
No, it's fine. No, it's good. It's good. It's a button. Yeah,
you know what my alternative present was?
What?
Because in the end, I gave you the executive toy, the button that says
as
easy.
As opposed to?
Like this.
That was easy.
That's what it says, right?
Yeah.
Terrible. As opposed to, I actually...
Bet it was going
to
be better.
I bought you a fairy sticker book.
No,
yeah.
Why didn't you give me that?
Oh, I'm such an idiot.
I love sticking fairies.
Well, exactly. Everyone does. And, you know, we could have chatted about stickers and what it was like as a youngster to covet stickers.
Yes, what about those stickers that you'd collect and you had to get them all and they had an image on the, a sort of jigsaw image on the flip side?
Uh-huh.
These were the Star Wars stickers, weren't they? And you could make a big picture of all the guys in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon off of the backing things.
That's right.
Oh, no, they were the cards, actually. I'm getting confused, aren't they? They were the collector's cards.
My life, I've been confused.
Some stickers are very rare, aren't they?
You know, what we used to do was send away to large companies and ask for their stickers. Like we'd send away and we'd pretend that we were Formula One racing drivers and we wanted the stickers for our cars.
That's a good angle.
And obviously, we were
Who's
not.
Who's we when you say we?
Me and my friends aged around 10.
Right.
And so we'd do these little scrawly 10-year-old letters to whoever it was, Duckham's Oil, and say...
Did you ever
excuse
win?
Me, please, can we have some Duckham's Oil stickers for our cars? We're Formula One racing drivers.
And very nicely, they would almost always write back and send us loads of stickers and decals and stuff for the cars.
My brother did that. He wrote to Rolls-Royce.
Did he?
Because he wanted a Silver Lady off the front of a Rolls-Royce.
Whoa, he's aiming high.
Well, he didn't get the Silver Lady, but aiming. He did get a metal RR plate.
Whoa.
I was very jealous.
That's the thing, man. If you're charming, if you can be bothered to write a letter and have a little charm in that letter, this is going out to all the youngsters listening to this show, you can pretty much get what you
all
want.
All sorts of stuff, yeah.
You really can.
Be charming and make a bit of an effort with the letter. There was a book when we were kids called Fun for Free. Do you remember that? I think it was a Puffin or Penguin book. And it had loads of addresses of companies that you could write off to get stickers and promotional goodies that seemed like very valuable things to kids.
Sure.
I'm sure a similar book exists now.
If you can be bothered to put pen to paper and be a little bit polite and you've got some manners, the world is your oyster.
But not when we're concerned.
No.
We've got nothing to give.
We're giving out nothing, right?
Nothing.
So don't bother writing to us, because all you get is a slap.
That's not true.
That's not true.
That isn't true.
You might get a little photo.
Yeah.
Listen, here's my final present to Count Buckley's. I'm handing it over right now.
Now this.
Give us an assessment of the wrapped gift. What do you think is in there?
What are we looking at here? I initially thought it was a DVD. It's around those dimensions.
My plan has worked.
But what is it? Is it a DVD with crazy packaging or something, perhaps? Or is it a DVD wrapped in a card? I'm going to take off the packaging right now.
Now, I'm experimenting with certain aspects
what
of this
the,
gift.
What the... He has wrapped something around this. There is, I think, a DVD inside, but I'm going to have a look at it now. It is a poster. Should I look at the DVD first or the poster first?
Whatever you want.
I'm going to look at the poster first. What the heckins? It is a NME Awards 2009 Shockwaves poster featuring the Kings of Leon. And it's number 6 of a limited edition set of 6, which presumably you've got from the NME, right?
Well, it was free in NME. Do you think that's wrong to give away?
And that, it's a double whammy. That is covering a copy on DVD of the film Nuts, starring Barbara Streisand and Richard Dreyfuss, or Dreyfuss if you prefer. Here's the synopsis of the film Nuts on the back. The pending case. The people of the state of New York versus Claudia Draper. The issue, is Claudia mentally competent to stand trial? Sure, she's shocking, outspoken, explosive, defiant, but is she nuts? More to the point, who cares?
Well, did you say that, or is that on the back?
No, it's not on the back. That's
it's a great
I'm
film,
saying.
Nuts. Who's it directed by?
Who is directing?
Of course,
this?
Nuts has a different. It doesn't really have the same connotation in America than it does in Britain.
No, this is Nuts as in crazy.
Yeah.
It's directed by. I don't know. Who is it directed by?
It's someone quite big league, isn't it?
Martin
Ritt. No, he must have done something.
Have you seen Nuts?
I don't think I've ever seen Nuts.
Of course, you haven't seen Nuts. But that's a good cast, though, isn't it? Dreyfuss and Streisand.
Surely it's good.
Look at Streisand on the front there.
She's nuts.
Absolutely nuts. He's a weird actor, isn't he, Richard Dreyfuss? He can really turn his hand to some quite bizarre substandard material when he.
Kippendorf's Tribe, Mr. Holland's Opus.
You know, Mr. Holland's Opus is one of Andrew Collins' favourite films.
It isn't.
Yeah, he's written some very moving essays about how much he loves that film.
He's insane.
But everyone has a film like that, you know, which is hard to...
Yeah, actually... mine's Kippendorf's Tribe.
Is it?
I like the scene where the family gather round with a block of wood and an axe and circumcise the son.
That's a good Christmas movie, it sounds
favorite
like.
Scenes.
I've got a soft spot for Holland's Opus. I agree with Andrew Collins.
Do you?
I like the bit where his son gives him a sign language version of Imagined by John Lennon.
Really? Maybe I'm poo-pooing it unnecessarily.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a masterpiece.
Back off with the poo-poo.
I did see it at the cinema.
I mean, it's
very handsomely made, I seem to remember.
Sure, sure. It's one of those films, though, a little bit like, what am I thinking of? Totally over-sentimental gush fest.
Mm.
Usually they have Robin Williams in them, you know? It's not as bad as Patch Adams.
Right.
But it's
Bicentennial Man, is it as good as that?
That's an interesting one, isn't it? Bicentennial Man.
Is it as good as Sim 1? Are you happy with that present,
man,
though?
That's a double.
That's Barbara Streisand's
helping
Nuts
of
on
fantastic.
DVD. Plus, is that fair enough to give away as a present something that came free with a magazine?
Yes.
Yeah? Because yes. It's the thought that counts.
It's really great.
Anyone who assesses their presents by pure commercial value is a cold-hearted, Scrooge-like, non-Christmas person.
Sure. I love the Kings of Leon. I will actually watch Nuts as well.
Right.
Is the other thing. This
what
is,
will you do with that Kings of Leon poster?
Maybe offer it to my sons to put on their wall.
They're very hip band.
Well, it'd be kind of cool, because at the moment they just got Ben 10 posters in there.
Right.
So it'd be quite good to step it up to the indie
Kings
world.
Of Leon, yeah. Impress their friends.
Exactly.
They talk about sex being on fire.
I know. How outrageous is that?
That's racy.
That is racy.
Certainly for the under 10s.
Woohoo! You're going to have another sip of my tinny, mate.
Good idea, mate. So that's the present giving over. It's a bit disappointing, isn't it? Do you think...
And we never even said, the final present. That's a bit of appropriation there that everybody does. As soon as the word, the final anything, is mentioned, the phrase, the final blah, 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 you have to sing, the final pizza, or the final...
So
whatever
loud.
It is.
That was the end of the so-called highlights from this week's Six Music Radio Show. Now there's just a little time left for one final linky from the two baboon men that you call Adam and Joe.
There we go, listeners. Those were the best bits of our special Boxing Day programme that came to you live from our little... Well, it wasn't live, was it? Pre-recorded from our little wooden shed just outside the walls of the big British castle. And this is us saying goodbye. And we hope you had a wonderful Christmas season. Don't forget, if you want, you can check out our 12 podcasts of Christmas. The BBC have put up the first 12 podcasts we ever did for your reappraisal.
I remember that the very first podcast we ever did was from a show where I certainly personally felt quite off form and a little bit grumpy.
Well, we'll see what the listeners think, but there are 12 podcasts. We're sort of halfway through them now.
Yes, those podcasts are being issued daily over the season period. I don't like to refer to it as Christmas because that's potentially very offensive to people that don't believe in the Christ the whole Christ legend myth stroke story, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, Sogmanay very soon. Coming up in the second Sogmanay. It's very exciting. It's been Sogmanay for much of the year. In the morning it's been Sogmanay, but it's actually proper Sogmanay. Drink twice as much as I used to drink on Hogmanay. Ladies and gentlemen, Grandma over in the corner of the room, Grandma with the lovely stockings over there as well. Here, it's Christmas, what better treat than have cousins, Rachel and Damien, cousins, sticking the corners, mothers, and the cousins. Also, it's the Hogmanay special, it's Grandpa Snoozy over there, as mothers, and Grandpa Snoozy.
Those are real members of your extended family.
Grandpa Snoozy.
And Rachel's as well.
Rachel's and Damien. I've got a cousin called Rafel.
Yeah.
I just thought it was time for Jules to pop
of
back.
Of course it was,
because it's coming
man.
Up to the Hootenanny.
It's nearly Hootenanny time.
It's Hootenanny. Oh, not again. All right, then. Okay, if you insist. Oh,
do you remember when we went to the Hootenanny?
I do.
Oh, my God.
We were put at the back of the Hootenanny crowd.
It was the most boring day of my life. It really was. No disrespect to Jules or the Hootenanny.
Jules is single-handedly keeping live music alive on television. No
Absolutely.
One can say anything critical about him, and he hasn't taken a drink in 52 years.
I love the man and everything about the
so
man.
So do I.
But standing in the Hootenanny audience right at the back of one of the kind of risers, it was so hot. All we had to do was watch Van Morrison shuffle on and off every now and again and Chrissy Hynde looking grumpy.
I loved it.
I absolutely loved it. It was one of the best days of my life. That's
triff.
What I was building
absolutely
up to
triff.
Say. Absolutely triff, spelt T-R-I-F-F, same way that you might say cliff.
Hey, but thanks to everybody who's listened to our show or our podcast over the last year. We're so grateful for your support. We couldn't have done it without all your emails and texts and stuff, whatever we did, that is. I'm not saying we did anything good, but whatever
we did,
we couldn't have done what we did without you. And we hope everyone's had a terrific Christmas.
Yeah, we really do. I second that emotion. And, you know, you guys are the best. And you, more than anything, are what completes us.
Noggins! Just clip-clop past the window. It's a rare sighting.
I was trying to say something sincere and it came out wrong. But I guess what I was trying to say was that we've had such fun here at the BBC for the last couple of years and in 2009 particularly. And we look forward to much more of it to come. So have a great new year. Take care.
Thanks for listening.
Bye!
Bye!
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music.